God has got some fantastic things for us in store for tonight, for tomorrow. You can take your seats. And I just love that sense that people of the fullness of God. And I'm so aware that sometimes you just get whacked in the Holy Spirit and you experience fullness. Other times you get the seeds that contain fullness in them and they take time to grow. And I think God's going to be depositing both. There'll be parts of what God does tonight and tomorrow that has the fullness in it. There'll be parts that you just get in seed form that God wants you to put in the soil of your life and cultivate joy and cultivate faith and cultivate generosity and cultivate peace, because the kingdom is both. It's fullness now and fullness that's coming and growing. So I just really want us to welcome Duncan, because I know that he's going to really begin to unpack some of the process of how we get more of that fullness. And we know that it comes both. It comes like a flood and it comes like a trickle. So let's give Duncan a round of applause as he comes to teach the word of God.
God's going to do some great stuff. God is going to do some extraordinary stuff in our midst. He's going to shape us and change us. And as we dig deeper into God, he is going to transform what we see around us day by day. And I believe that when Pete came up and shared about the fullness of God, I mean, I was excited, but it's also quite a sobering thing as well. Because the weight of glory on us when the fullness of God really comes within us. And what we see around us is absolutely extraordinary. What I wanted to do is, I wanted to start actually by just responding to what Pete said. In Matthew 16, it says, Jesus said, I will build my church. Amen? Yeah. In Matthew 9, Jesus said that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray earnestly to the Lord to send out the laborers into the harvest. I have to make a confession to you. I have often tried to take Jesus' job from him. And I've tried to swap it around. And I have tried to say to Jesus, look, I will build your church. Would you go out into the harvest field? Yeah. And it doesn't work. But Jesus said, I'd like to say it's my word. But it's so, somebody said it, and it really, really changed me. Because for so long, I have thought, I need to build the church. And, you know, in all of us, and we need to do stuff. Now, we do need to have a church, you know, we do need to meet, and because it's the wisdom of God. But actually, I have tried to build the church and said, Jesus, you go out. And no, actually, God's call is for us to go out in the fullness of God. So I spoke to Pete earlier, when he was flying down from Scotland. And we want to just pray for some people. And pray for some people that you would carry the fullness of God wherever you go, into your work setting. And there's a few, what I wanted to do was, I wanted to try and cover everybody who's here. But I think there are three groups of people I really wanted to pray for first of all, and then we're going to pray for anyone else. And what I'm going to ask you to do is, I'm just going to ask you to stand up if you're involved in some of these areas or groups. And then both I and Pete are just going to pray God's grace over you, that you would know the fullness of God. And the first group is this, that if you care for people, okay, now that might be you might raise children, you might be based in the home, or you might actually be fortunate enough to really get paid real life money to care for people. But if you are involved in that sort of area, I'd like you to stand up in a minute. And the second group is, I know that there are people who are involved in business, and actually you go into the city day by day and you work in the city and you work in an office, and actually I want God's spirit to come on you. And the third group is that I know that actually there are lots of people who are in education, and we've always had lots of people involved in education. And I think, imagine what it would be like if we had a whole body of people in Northwest London or wherever you're from, but who went into all sorts of caring environments just ablaze with the Holy Spirit. Imagine what would happen. The possibilities that we have to demonstrate love to people. And imagine if we had a whole group of people that were doing business deals from a Christian, with a Christian understanding that Jesus was going ahead of them. Pete was up in Glasgow today? Glasgow. Selling duvets and selling linen. Sales director. But you know, imagine what we could have if more and more sales directors, okay, were just filled with the Holy Spirit. An extraordinary impact for the kingdom. I would so love anybody who comes into Barnet to think, if you go into Barnet, where do you guys meet? Are you technically Brent?
Yeah.
Barnet or Brent. And they say, yeah. I just know that whenever we go to Barnet or Brent, somebody always prays for us. In the supermarket, at the school gate, that somebody lets me park in their parking spaces and then say, well, God bless you for that. Could you imagine it? For too long, it has been about the Spirit of God filling us here. No, it's not. Jesus said, I will build what's doing here. We need to be sent out. Okay, so could you just stand up if you're involved in caring for people, or if you're raising children, or if you're home-based, if you're involved in business, or if you're involved in teaching and education. Could you just stand up? Pete, out you come. Where's the microphone? Do you want to pray first? Yeah. I'd focus on business, but doing anything. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, right. Father God, I just pray for those people who are involved in business. Father God, just pray for business. People in business. No, everyone, you just behave yourself. Father God, just be in business, and just to be people, men and women of real integrity, yes, and honesty, yes, and that we would just shine for you, yes, and that Lord, we wouldn't take shortcuts, yes, and that Lord, we wouldn't think that Lord, a deal is worth compromising your truths for. Father God, just make us be people of real integrity.
Yes, our Lord.
Real integrity, Father. That we would have that fullness, Father God. Fullness, Father God. Just pray for that.
Father, thank you.
Oh,
Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Lord, I pray for your anointing, Lord, to come and fall on anybody who has this extraordinary privilege and joy of raising children or caring for people. God, we want to thank you. I just say, God wants to sort of demonstrate to you his extraordinary blessing. That moment after moment, sorry. That moment after moment when you have thought, I just need to talk to an adult. I just need to do something. I feel now there is grace upon grace upon grace for you. That God is through you shaping young lives who are full of the Holy Spirit, who will learn what it is to trust Jesus, who will learn what it is to walk in faith, who will learn what it is to have an extraordinary, adventurous faith. And Lord Jesus, I want to pray for anybody now who makes their living from caring for people, that there would be extraordinary love, that you would fill us with an extraordinary capacity to love the unlovely, that there'd be an extraordinary anointing that would fall on us. Oh God, that there'd be moment after moment after moment where people would ask us the reason for the hope that we have in you. Yeah. And we would say, it's because I know that my Heavenly Father loves me. Now God is anointing you to care with extraordinary compassion.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Father.
Thank you, Lord. And
we want to pray for teachers. We want to pray for just incredible people who give their lives in classrooms, who instruct young people. Oh, Father, we pray. Lord, come upon them. Lord, we pray. Lord, I want to ask that, Lord, there would be memorable teachers that are crafted in this moment now. That there would be young people that grow up knowing that I had a teacher who not only taught but loved me, showed me what it was to be compassionate, showed me what it was to be caring. I want to pray, oh God, for a fresh anointing to fall on our teachers right now. Come upon them. I want to pray in all the midst of all the things that they have to do, in all the forms and in all the reports they have to write, in everything. I want to pray, Lord, your love would shine through them, oh God, I pray. I want to pray you'd give them extraordinary patience and tenacity when they have difficult classes, when they have difficult parents or difficult children. I want to pray, oh God, your love would overwhelm that situation. So come on us, Lord, we pray. Lord, we're asking for a revival move, oh God. Lord, a revival move to sweep through North London, we pray, to sweep through the areas and the communities that we live in. Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes. If you're not standing at the moment, could I just ask you to stand right now? If you can.
Yeah, Father God, just pray for everyone here. Father God, that they indeed would be that just amazing witness for you. Father God, that they will be salt and light, Father God. That indeed, we would just shine for you, Father God. And I just pray that, Lord, that no one would feel that they're not serving you because they're not at the front of a church. But Father God, that they can serve you by just a kind word to a passerby, to talking to a commuter on a train. To giving a smile to a homeless person on the street. But Father God, we would love those the way that you love them, Father God. Father God, because we know that when people see your heart, they are transformed. Father God, I pray that we would be church, not just in here, but we would be church out there in the world that we live, in our homes and in our families and with the people we come into contact day by day. Oh God, may we know that fullness, Father God. Overwhelm us, we pray.
Yeah.
And Father, I just really want to pray, Lord, for people who are in church work. Father God, we just pray that your protection would be upon them. That, Father God, that they would stand as men and women of real integrity. And that, Father God, we say that, Lord, the enemy has no hold upon them. And that, Father God, we pray that you would make them shine for you. Father God, we pray, bless them to overflowing, Father God, that they would build their church not in bricks, but Father God, by the people they meet every
day. Come on, Lord.
Oh God, build your church. May they be full, Father God, of your spirit. Shine for you, Father God, so that your glory will come. Amen.
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 Amen. Fantastic. Amen. Amen. Do sit down. Just to let you know, I've just spent, Dave, what time do you want me to finish? I just spent 2 days with the...
24 hours, that's okay.
Okay, so 2 o'clock, yeah.
There's no kids.
Just to let you know, I've just spent 2 days with a guy called Stavros Ignatiou, who's a pastor over from Athens. And it's been just very exciting to be with him. We got to know him because a team went out from Trinity to go and serve amongst the refugees that are coming in. And I mean, he's doing an extraordinary amount of work, but he's feeding something like 1,500 refugees a day. They desperately, desperately need more people to go out there. And actually, we agreed that we met together yesterday with a group of four churches, and we probably agreed that we will try and send a team of people out there probably 3 times a year. And we would like to get 30 people in each of those teams from those four different churches to go out there and just to serve them. So if you're interested in that and you want to serve, it is the most... Jill, you went out there and it was just it was an extraordinary moment. But the thing that I really learned from Stavros is that he came over here with no agenda. And he just said, I want to meet with some churches. And he met with four churches, and he met with four churches that he knew in the UK that had sent teams out there. And he had no agenda. And I said, well, what are you going to do? What do you want to do? He said, I don't know. I just want to come and hang out and see what happens. And I just need to let you know that so often, that just being willing to come and do something and hang out and not really having an agenda produces a harvest that is far, far greater than we sit and plan and organize and strategize. And actually, what he did was he came, and because he was here, I invited him to a meeting that I was going to in any case. And because he went to a meeting that we were going to in any case, we then decided that we were going to send 3 teams a year out of 30 people. And you know, there is something of just waiting and seeing what God is going to do. We're going to just have a quick... Can I tell you about Forrest Gump to start with? Is it your favourite film? No, I'm not going to trash it at all. Forrest Gump dies, went to heaven, met St. Peter at the pearly gates. This is obviously clearly good theology, isn't it? met St. Peter at the pearly gates, and St. Peter said to him, "Well, Forrest, I'm really sorry, but it's a little bit crowded in here. I'd really like to let you in, but what we're going to do is we're just going to have a really short quiz, okay? Short quiz. If you answer the three questions right, you can come in." Forrest Gump said, "What did Forrest Gump say?" "Yes, okay, yeah, fine." But St. Peter, these questions are going to get a little bit harder as they go along. And so Forrest Gump said, "Yeah, that's fine, okay." So the three questions that St. Peter said is, okay, firstly, Forrest, I want you to tell me what are 2 days in the week that begin with Tuesday? Forrest thought about it. Okay, I think I could probably work out. Then the second question is, Forrest, I want you to tell me how many seconds there are in a year. Forrest thought, oh, it's a little bit harder. And then he said, Forrest, and I want you to tell me what is God's first name. Okay. So then Forrest Gump thought about it for a little bit, and he said, oh, right. St. Peter said, time's up. I've got to ask you this question. What are 2 days in the week that begin with the letter T? Forrest thought about it and said, today and tomorrow. Today and tomorrow. And St. Peter said, well, to be honest, I was expecting you to say Tuesday and Thursday, but today and tomorrow, I see where you're going. That's not a bad answer. Second question. Forrest, how many seconds are there in a year? Forrest thought about it. No, 12. What? 12? Forrest said, yeah. 2nd of January, the 2nd of March, the 2nd of February. Then, Forrest got the last question. Forrest thought, I'm nearly in heaven. Okay. And then St. Peter said to him, okay, what is God's first name? Forrest thought about it for a moment and said, Andy. Andy? Forrest Gump said, yeah. Andy looked at everything that he'd made and saw that it was good. So, if you want to know, God's first name is Andy. He got into heaven. Can I ask you, how many people have an up and down walk with God? Sometimes you're really in a high place, and sometimes you're in a low place. Sometimes you're in a high place because your prayers have been answered. Somebody has been really encouraging to you. You've gone to a conference. Something has gone really well. Maybe you think, oh, I've been particularly holy for quite a while. I haven't managed to sin for quite a long time. And then you feel quite proud of the fact, and then obviously you have sinned. And you feel, oh no, things are going well, and you're growing up. Or perhaps you come to church, and just somebody says something to you. And you think, oh, that was harsh. Did you know, can I just say, when I came down this evening, I was preparing, can I say this, Jill? Jill said something that was so hurtful to me, unbelievable. She looked at me, she said, Duncan, you look odd. Okay. Okay. And she said, shorts and a long, doesn't, anyway, I don't care, okay. But can you imagine, okay, so sometimes you're going really well with God, and then your wife or somebody says something so hurtful and unbelievable, or I don't know, there's just something that happens, or you just have to cope with disappointment, or you pray for somebody that you really want to see healed, or you step out in faith and you say, I'm just going to pray for this lady in the supermarket right here and now, and they say, no. And then you're just crushed and you're disappointed. Just need to let you know that an up and down walk with God is not God's plan for your life. If you've got your Bibles, just turn to 2 Corinthians Chapter 3. I don't want to make anybody feel condemned. I think we all at times have this up and down walk with God. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 4. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Skip to verse 12. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Go to verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled face behold the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Amen. Do you know what? There is a plan for God's life, that we are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. And I don't know how long you have been a Christian. I've been a Christian since I was 15. I remember the moment when I was 15. I gave my life to Christ. But, there's sometimes you think, oh, I'm just going to stay as we are. No, that is not God's plan for our lives. God's plan for our lives is actually that we are transformed from one degree of glory to another. It's not a sudden, it says we are being transformed. There is a process that we go through, process of being sanctified. But no, we are being transformed. You know, the natural order of stuff is what? Down, is decay. The natural order of things is not for things to get better. If you leave an apple outside, what happens to it? It rots. We get old, okay? We just, at some point, we are going to die. But the supernatural order of things is that we are transformed from one degree of glory to another. And what that means is that God has more for you tomorrow than he does today. Which is really quite a good thing to realize. We're not to be static or stagnant. No, but there is more that God has for us. Isaiah 9, verse 7, the verse that we always read at Christmas. And it says, of the increase of his government, there will be no end. Now, if there's to be an increase of his government that's going to always continue and it's never going to end, what it means is that God wants people like you and me who are filled with the Spirit more and more and more, who know what it is to faithfully walk with him. I want to look at the character of Joseph for a moment. Because Joseph is an extraordinary man who knew what it was to be filled with the Holy Spirit and went from one degree of glory to another. And he went through all sorts of different situations, a lot of situations. So just to give you a little bit of understanding, who was the can anyone tell me who the father of Joseph was?
Jacob.
Oh, very good. and... who was Jacob married to?
Rachel and Leah.
Okay, so Jacob had children with both Rachel and Leah. He also had children with Bilhah and Zilpah, which are interesting names. They were the maidservants. Does anyone know the story of how Jacob married Rachel? Somebody tell me, what happened?
He worked for 7 years.
For who?
And he got Leah.
So he really fancied this girl called Rachel. Jacob really fancied this girl called Rachel, and he saw it and he said, oh, I really like that girl. That's who I'm going to marry. And so he went to Rachel's father, Laban, and said, can I marry your daughter? And he said, yeah, maybe you can if you come and work for me and my sheep for 7 years. 7 years he slaved away. He worked for Laban, looking after his sheep. And then Laban, the crafty man, said this, nah, the older daughter's got to get married first. You've got to marry Leah. What? Okay, so you've got to marry Leah first. If you want to marry Rachel, what is it? Another 7 years. Works another 7 years. Eventually, what happens? He marries Rachel. Rachel can't have children. So what happens? What was the story then? They had, Jacob had children through two maidservants, Zilpah and Bilhah. What was their names? Bilhah and Zilpah. The reason I'm saying that is this. Jacob didn't actually really want to marry Leah. He wanted to marry Rachel. And when Rachel had children, two sons, guess what? From his favorite wife, he had two very favorite sons. That's why Joseph was favored, because he really loved Joseph's mum. Rachel had two children, Benjamin, who was the last born, and Joseph. Let's just go to Genesis chapter 37, and we're going to read a few verses. Genesis 37. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. Okay, so they didn't like him in any case. Because he was one of the youngest of the 12 brothers, they didn't like him in any case. Jacob always favored Joseph. We all know about the story of Jacob and his technicolor dream coat. It's because Jacob wanted to give something very, very special to Joseph. Joseph, when he was about 17 years old, it said, had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. And he said to them, hear this dream that I have dreamed. Okay, I just want you to imagine, okay, sitting around the dinner table. Hey, hi guys, how you going? Do you have a nice day? Yeah, it's not so bad, thanks. Been looking after the sheep, yeah. Can I just tell you a dream that I've had? No, not really. Yeah, I really want to tell you this dream. Okay, tell us the dream. And he said to them, hear the dream that I've dreamed. Pass the salt. And behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gather around it and bow down to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, are you indeed to reign over us? Or are you indeed to rule over us? And so they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. You can understand it. They hated him. I just need to let you know that there are sometimes... There are moments when you can see... I think probably what Joseph should have done is he should have just held his dream to himself. You know, but sometimes you see people who are very gifted, but they are immature in the gifting. Yeah. And sometimes that will really happen, and you think, I really wish that person would maybe hold something. And you know, the thing is with Joseph is this. Sometimes when you see gifted people, they are grace gifts. They are not always dependent on character. And if you see somebody that is very gifted but has an immature character, what should you do? Let me tell you this. You love them, you cherish them, you pray for them, and you talk with them. That's what you do with them. Because that's how they come through to a maturity. And you know, I have seen times when people have rejected really gifted people because they just don't like them. And I just think, no, God is on some people. And we just have to say, no, we will respect people who are gifted and anointed. Now, you just need to also know that character, good character, is the place where gifting grows. So actually, at a certain point, bad character will discount people. But there are lots of people in the Bible who are gifted prophets who had bad character. What about Samson? He didn't have a very great character, did he? Genesis 37 to 41. Those few chapters, they cover about 20 years. And in those verses, this is what happened. Joseph realized that his brothers hated him. He was sold into slavery twice. He was wrongly accused of attempted rape of his boss. Now, his boss happened to be a very famous soldier. That is not a good situation to be in. To be accused of an attempted rape of the wife of a very famous soldier in Egypt. Not a good thing to be doing. He was wrongly imprisoned. And when he was in prison, somebody promised to help him and then forgot about him. And he languished in prison for another 24 months. I'm just saying to you that what Joseph did was he went from glory to glory to glory. Now, I think that there would be many of those situations where I would have thrown the towel in. And there had been many of those situations where I just thought, do you know what? I think I'm done now. You can stuff this. I am not doing this. And you just think that all of those situations in his life, you think, I can't carry on. This is too much pressure. I am not going to continue to put myself out there only to be knocked down, only to be wrongly imprisoned, only to be accused of all sorts of things. And yet in every situation we see Joseph doing this. He moves from glory to glory to glory. His influence increased. Now it was a different situation. We live under a new covenant now. And there are different things that would apply in that situation. But what happened to Joseph was He was not defined by his circumstance. He was defined by the call of God on his life. Again and again and again. Every demoralizing situation that Joseph saw himself in, it wasn't a demoralizing situation for him. It was an opportunity for God's grace to shine in his life even more. And you know, I want to be more and more like that. Because the promise is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that I am supposed to go from glory to glory to glory. But so often I got caught up in all the stuff that just makes me think, no, I don't want to do this any longer. No, God has greater things for us. Eventually, Joseph stored enough grace. I hope that most of us know the story of Joseph in broad outline. And so I'm just like summarizing these things. But Joseph stored enough grain in Egypt so that they didn't starve through the famine that he'd prophesied. His brothers turned up out of the blue asking to buy food. His family was eventually reunited. And Joseph moves Jacob and his dad and his brothers back into Egypt. And they took some prime land. Through Joseph, a nation was saved. A nation was saved. To come back to 2 Corinthians 3, what can we take from that about us moving from glory to glory to glory? What can we learn from Joseph? Joseph was clearly a very, very gifted man. He was able to administrate, he was able to do all sorts of things. And I'm sure at one point when Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh had a dream of these seven fat cows that were gobbled up by these seven scrawny cows, and he had these seven plump bits of wheat, ears of wheat that were consumed by these seven scrawny ears of wheat, and he prophesied this famine. And then Joseph said, what you need to do is this: you need to store up grain and you need to appoint somebody who's very gifted, very capable, and trustworthy to look after it. Me. Now, I think Joseph was a very gifted man. But the thing is that wasn't where Joseph started. Joseph started when he was taken captive by the Midianites, when his brothers sold him into slavery. At that moment there, he said, I'm going to make the most of every opportunity. When he was in Potiphar's house, what happened? He made the most of every single opportunity. Every single opportunity. And what happens is that God will take us on a journey of moving from glory to glory to glory. But it only starts now, today, where you are in your home, in your workplace, where you think, no, this is an opportunity for God to use me. And we say, no, I want to do the great, enormous things. But it always starts where we are right now. God uses us. And God really wants to say, no, there are situations where you are right now that God wants to speak to. And he's saying, well, who am I going to use to speak to this person? Who am I going to use? The other day, I mentioned this on Sunday, but I prayed for the cashier at Asda. Morrison's. And it was a really simple situation. And she just said, no, her life wasn't particularly well. She was homeless. And as she gave me my receipt and my card back, I said to her, surely somebody has prayed for you before. Now, I knew that probably no one had. But I really wanted her to say, yeah, they have. I really wanted her to say, oh, yeah, do you know what? Somebody else, a mad Christian, prayed for me before. But you can pray for me again. But, you know, there are many, many people in your sphere of influence that God wants to speak to. And when we want to move from glory to glory, it starts now. And the moment when Joseph started that journey of going from glory to glory is when everything went badly wrong. And his brothers sold him to the Midianites and put him in a hole. I think he made a decision then. No, God's got a plan for my life. And God has got a plan for your life to bring revival into this part of London. When he was in Potiphar's wife, the Bible says that Joseph was a good-looking man. And he caught the attention of Potiphar's wife. Okay, that's a tricky moment, isn't it? It just reminded me. There was there was a prophetic word this morning. Were you gonna do that? There was a prophetic word this morning that actually there is somebody here who is looking at another man's wife. And you think, and he's just thinking and speculating. And I just think God would say to you, run away as fast as you possibly can. run away as fast as you possibly can. I remember I went into a pub once with a load of friends that were male, and we went into this pub, and basically it was filled with women. And we looked at each other, and we literally ran. I thought it was just quite funny, actually, if I'm really honest with you. But we just ran. But actually, we must run away from the situation. But anyway, when Joseph was there, he was presented with Potiphar's wife on a plate. What did he do? No. God is taking me from glory to glory to glory. And he took the consequences. He took the consequences. He then had to do quite a lot of time in prison because of it. He saw opportunities in the small. Wherever God has placed you, do you see the opportunities? Or do you say, God, just put me somewhere else. Give me another job. Give me other neighbors. Give me other children. I don't know. Give me somebody else. I don't know. Wherever you are, God has placed you. The second thing that I think we can learn from Joseph is this, that in the Old Testament, we see the Spirit of God falling on particular men and women at particular times for a particular person. And God's Spirit was on Joseph to save a nation. Through him, he saved a nation. And then you come forward and you see this Joel 3 prophecy where it says that the Spirit of the Lord is going to be poured out on all people. And in Acts 2, you see that coming into being. By the Spirit of God, we cry, Abba, Father. There is something about moving from glory to glory to glory that means that we are not constantly organizing the kingdom. Just spending 2 days with Stavros, this Greek pastor, I learned a little bit about that. We do not organize the kingdom of God. If we want to move from glory to glory to glory, there is something about just saying, okay, God, what are you doing now? What now? Now, we don't want to be totally disorganized. We do want to have church every Sunday, and we do want to have chairs that are put out, and we do want to start at roughly the same time, and we do want to finish at roughly the same time, else we have a rebellion and we have no kids' work and they all die, okay? So we do want to do stuff that basically works, but essentially we want to be a people that are thinking, God, what are you doing now? And actually, I heard something again the other day that said, we want to be people who are saying, "What God, what are you doing now?" And I want to be the first person that is there, because that's the definition of Christian leadership. Whatever God is doing, okay, God, what are you doing? Okay, we will be there. And it's really difficult because sometimes our lives become more disorganized and actually chaos breaks in a little bit. But there is something of God. If we want to move from glory to glory to glory, we have to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit that comes alongside us and says and whispers in our ear, you are my beloved daughter, you are my beloved son. Go there and don't go there. Say that and don't say that. Who whispers in our ear, encourage that person and challenge that person. I sometimes I'm not very good at that, at just being responsive and saying, okay, I don't really know. I'd find it really difficult, if I'm really honest, to go to Greece and just say, I'm just going to meet with 4 churches and I don't know what's going to happen. Because if I'm really honest, I'm more thinking, well, can I justify the plane, all of that sort of stuff. I'm all right to go to a conference because I can sit there and take notes and fill my book up and then go away and put my notebook away and forget it. But it's a little bit harder to go to somewhere you think, I don't know what's going to happen. But maybe that's what God is saying. Maybe that is the journey that God is taking us to go from glory to glory to glory, because he has fresh stuff for us to do. And it's not always the same, and sometimes it's a little bit disorganized. The last thing that I think I want to take from the story of Joseph, but also from us about this journey of going from glory to glory to glory. In the account of Joseph and his brothers, there is a moment when Judah, who is one of the brothers, Joseph says to all of the brothers, okay, I want Benjamin, the youngest brother, to stay with me. Because if he stays with me, I know that you'll go back and you'll get your father Jacob and you'll bring him back. And Judah says this. He says, if my dad sees all of us going back home and Benjamin is not with us, he will die. Because he is the only remaining son of the wife that he really loved. And if he sees, and Benjamin is not with us, that will be the end of him. He will not be able to cope with that. And so what Judah says is this, let me stay instead of Benjamin. And it's this substitute. Now, I think whenever we read the New Testament, we can see the model of substitutionary atonement in there. Now, I do not actually think in this situation that Judah is a Christ-like person offering to take the place. I think he's actually more of a Holy Spirit type person, because the Holy Spirit comes as a guarantee of what is to come. So I think it's more like that. But actually, you just need to know this, that my confidence comes that Jesus is taking me from glory to glory to glory, and it is absolutely nothing to do with me. You just need to know that. It's not to do with you. It's not to do with how much you worship, how quiet or how loud you are. It's not how often or how infrequently you come to church. It's not how to do with how much you read your Bible. It's to do with the fact, this one incontroversial fact, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. And you know, so often we talk about moments like this and we think, no, we have to come back to this moment when Jesus died on the cross for us and came back to life. It was the moment when hope came back. And it is nothing to do with me. Jesus wants to take me on this journey of glory to glory to glory. Can you remember the last time somebody did something undeservedly kind to you? You didn't deserve it. But somebody just out of the goodness of their heart said something to you, gave something to you, or did something for you. I just need to tell you, today, somebody sent me a photograph. They didn't have to send it to me. It was a photograph of something that we had given somebody. And they sent this beautiful photograph. And I quite liked it, if I'm really honest. I haven't even shown you it, Sheila. But it came quite late. They didn't have to send it. But they just sent this beautiful photograph, and you think, oh, it was a gift. I didn't deserve it. They just gave me something that was extraordinary. There was a moment in history when Jesus did something extraordinarily kind for you. And you cannot deny it. And it is nothing, you didn't deserve it. There is nothing that you did to earn it. And you can't change it. But Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. And that was the moment that hope broke in. And so often we think, okay, Jesus died on the cross, my sins are forgiven, I don't need to feel guilty anymore. Great. Jesus Christ died on the cross, that tomorrow I would see more of the glory of Jesus in my life than I have today. And I don't have to wait. It's not to do with me. It's not because of how good I am. It's because of the promises that God has made and because of what Jesus has done. I believe that as we start these few days together, today and tomorrow, God is going to take us on a journey. We're going to start a new day of adventurous faith, of wherever we are placed, whatever circumstance that we have found ourselves, God is going to use us. God is going to take us to break open many, many new doors. And I think, actually, God wants to take us away from a Christian journey of being up and down, of being up and down, of sometimes it's being really great and sometimes it's not. I think God is going to take us away from a journey of it is up to us to change society and to change culture. Take us away from a journey of it is up to us to build the church. I think God is taking us on a journey over these few days of saying, no, God is going to make us more filled with his glory tomorrow morning than he is right now at 20 past nine. A journey of increasing glory from glory to glory to glory.